Hey, what's going on? This is Random Encounters. I'm Mega Rand, and my guest is Austin Creed. What's going on, sir?
I'm good. Hey, is that a velvet hat?
It is.
My God, it looks incredible.
That you can see that through this is pretty cool. Yeah,
Oh,
this is
yeah.
a shop out here called Trill. They make really dope stuff. Shout out to them. They gave me this hat. I was in the middle of, like, the thing I do at my shows where I'm rapping, freestyling. And one of the guys from the shop was there, and as I'm freestyling, he goes into his bag, takes out the hat, and like puts it on my head, and I'm rapping like, oh, I'm gonna keep this, blah blah blah. And then after the show, I was like, here's the hat back. And he's like, no, man, like that was literally for you. And I'm like,
Oh,
oh,
that's
good,
cool.
because it's kind of sweaty, so
Yeah. You're not gonna want this back.
you
Yeah,
don't want
I can spot some velvet now. I
nah.
like some velvet.
All right, shout out to Trill for that. All right, so the question that I get asked from many people, how did we meet? Can you give this story?
So I am the kind of person, if you don't know who I am WWE Superstar Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed, aka host of the greatest YouTube channel of all time. Up, up, down, down. Go subscribe if you've yet to subscribe already. AKA, check me out on twitch.tv/AustinCreed. AKA, check out the New Day podcast every Monday. That's called having a lot of irons in the fire. I'm also making a video game, and I'm also almost done writing my horror movie. Let's go. So, we met.
You answered like every question. All right, we're done.
So when I was in NXT, or sorry, FCW, it was pre-NXT is what it was called. So I was getting the opportunity to start wrestling, and they're like, "Oh, theme music. What do you want?" Because we have a bunch of generic things. And I was like, "Oh, well, if you have like a database, I would love to look through it." And so I was just trying to find something that fit me, because everything was like super generic wrestler A entrance music. It was like the 30 entrance themes you would find in like a wrestling game for your creative wrestler. And I hate that, because like the songs are good, but there's no like build to them. There's no intro that anybody cares about. And it's like, well, it just kind of sucks, because I feel like music really goes with creating the vibe of who you are and how you want to be perceived. And so I think I came across Looking Up, and I was a baby face at the time. And so I was like, oh, this song is incredible. And I was trying to get them to let me turn heel, but I was like, oh, well, if I had turned heel, I can't use Looking Up. So that's when I heard The Day the Robots Took Over, and that's still to me like one of my favorite songs I've ever heard. The song is absolutely incredible. And so I was using your music because it was in the database that they had. Or sorry, no, I think The Day the Robots Took Over wasn't in there, and that's when I emailed you. And so to ask for permission to use the music, and then we kind of started talking. And I'm the kind of person like, okay, so you clearly are into things that I'm into, so I want to be friends and like learn like what it is exactly that you do. And so it just bloomed from there. And then fast forward a few years, and I brought you to Mania with my family to be to be a guest at the show, at the after party, all that.
Yes. Oh man, I tell that story a lot. That was the one time when you caught me slipping.
Not slipping, not slipping.
Not slipping, but I was a little starstruck, smitten, I guess you could say. You know,
Happens.
it's one thing to see guys like in the ring, but then like to see them chilling, talking, drinking, having conversations, and this close to you is like kind of a trip. Can you remember a moment in your career, like early on, where you were like completely starstruck? You're like, oh snap, this is for real.
The one and only time I've met Too Cold Scorpio. I've crossed
Wait, you've
paths with
only
him
met him once?
one time.
Wow.
One
Okay,
time.
so
And
tell me about this meeting.
so I was an extra for WWE for whatever. I was young, and just they bring in guys to get beat up or be security or play a role backstage, whatever. And so I'm walking around, and obviously you're very nervous, you're very scared, especially like in that era. Like people are just like kind of like dead face looking at you, or like not acknowledging that you're in the room when you say hello and try to shake their hands. It's just like a very weird time. Weird, like whatever. So I go through that like nine times, and then I finally like I randomly see Too Cold Scorpio sitting in a chair in like this bomb ass suit, and just like sitting randomly in the arena by himself. So I was like, I walked up to him, I was like, I don't know if I'll ever meet him again. So I walked up and introduced myself, And I was like, I gotta shoot my shot. I was like, is there any way that, you know, we could roll around in the ring? He goes, man, I don't even know you. And I was like, that's how we get to know each other, right? It's wrestling. And he was like, all right, I'll put my stuff on. And we got to wrestle around for a minute before it was taken from me. But that's the only time I've met him. But I was losing my mind, but I've been trained by the guy who trained me, Rob Adonis, and then later on, Brody Ray Chase, to just like, you bottle that. you bottle that. You put it in here because you get dressed in the same locker room as these guys. And so that was their reasoning. Like, you can't – I mean, you could, but then you're making a thing of it when it's like, rather than putting people on a pedestal, you got to just acknowledge them as humans. I mean, like, cause you're great at what you do. You're great. And I love you for it. But my goal is not to like be you. My goal is to be better than you, to be the first me. So like, anytime you put somebody on a pedestal and you're like, oh, I want to be as good as this person, you automatically never will be, because you're always going to be looking up at them no matter how high you get, because you've set them there. So it's a weird thing of being respectful, but at the same time, like, ultimately being respectful to yourself. But I don't know. But I completely threw that out the window when I met the creator of Steven Universe, just bald like a baby. So
that's okay. I think that's acceptable. Yeah. Okay, so I remember meeting you in Florida. Gosh, I don't remember what year that was.
I'm bad with time.
Gosh, I don't even know now, but it was the last of an event that we used to do every year called Nerdapalooza. And it was a big nerd rap show, and so many people came out, and it was the last really big one in Orlando at,
the comic shop?
No, this was at a, like the convention center or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
The hotel convention center. Yeah, Ayers came through. First time I met him. I met a lot of the guys there. I feel like that was the first time, I could be wrong, but it might've been the first time you came through. So at that time, let me go back now. I got to find out the actual year so that I can ask you, like, what was happening with you creatively at that time?
I have no idea. I'm the worst person to ask about time frames and years and months.
So this was an Orlando Nerd Fest event. Okay. And this happened in, that was 2014. You were just debuting. But this is the year that New Day began, though, right? I think. Was it 2014 or 15?
I don't know. Again, me and time. So I know that, I think it was Extreme Rules.
Okay.
That me and Truth had a match against Rusev, a handicap match, as the baby faces, which was super weird. And Rusev killed me and then just wrestled Truth. Mm. And so I kind of like lost my mind at that point. Cause I was like, why did you even bring me here? Like, what am I doing? Like, I debuted, we didn't do anything. And then Rusev debuted, and then he was just beating the hell out of me in NXT. So you brought him here to beat the hell out of me here. I'm like, why didn't you just leave me where I was if this was going to happen like this? So I was just like in a bad place mentally. As you know how, like, no matter what your goal is, when you get there, you realize that you haven't like gotten there yet. You realize now the real hustle starts. Like, how bad do you really want this? Because it takes a certain kind of mindset to like reach like your childhood dream. But then it takes another kind of mindset to like get to your childhood dream, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just feeling like a failure in 9 different aspects of life and just not good mentally. And I like blew up that day and was like, I don't even remember what I said, but I was just very upset. I like busted in the writer's room and I was just super mad. And they're just kind of like, okay, that was weird.
okay.
And so then after I calmed down, it was like, okay, well, clearly that's not going to work. Me just like being the nice guy and never like really rolling the dice has not worked. When I had seen people not have to do that, when I'd seen people like show up and then just like, hey, here's opportunity after opportunity. In my head, I was like, well, if I just do everything right, eventually those people will fall by the wayside. And the people that are like working super hard are going to like get something. And I never felt that reciprocation that I thought was going to occur. So in my head, it was like, well, I clearly need to change what I'm doing. And so there was like 1 or 2 times where I got yelled at got in trouble for something, and to where I like, you know, normally when you're getting like yelled at by someone who's in charge of you, like you're just, yep, okay, got it, cool. Like that was, that part of me was like gone, completely dead. And so it's like me, it's like, it's not me coming back as like a very like calculated and calm, like, okay, well, this is how I feel about this, and this happened. It was like, I'm gritting my teeth, speaking through me, crying, explaining how like everything worked and how it was garbage and I was done with it. And I'm only doing the things that I want to do now, because I was sick of throwing the punches that other people were telling me to throw and getting knocked out. If I had gotten knocked out in the terms of like being fired, then I would have gone, well, if I would have just done what I wanted to do, maybe I would have had a shot, as opposed to me actually doing what I wanted to do, it not working, and then me knowing the answer to if I'm good enough to do this or not. So, and I'd be better able to sleep at night in that situation.
Okay.
So that's where I was mentally.
Okay. Yeah. I get a lot of that too. I mean, in our career, I think doing this like music stuff, there's no set plan, or there is a set plan, but it's like for the guys that are on the path to superstardom, and yeah, the rest of the guys have to just kind of figure it out. And that's kind of what we've done, just like going left of center, I think, whenever possible. And I always feel the same way. Like if I fail doing it my way, at least I know that I gave it my all, you know.
Yeah.
I shot my shot, I tried my hardest, instead of just me following everybody's advice, which didn't necessarily get me anywhere. So
yeah,
I see some similarities there.
Yeah, it's a very weird situation, because I feel like regardless of the realm in which you work, I feel like especially in entertainment, especially where it's not necessarily it's not like football where you have stats and it's like, okay, cool, well, you've got 17 sacks and blah blah, blah and this and that, so we're gonna put you in like first string. Or mm-hmm. like with wrestling, it's like it's all kind of, you know, it's just whoever says you should go in what place. You know, it's people playing chess and you don't really have a say. And so it breeds that kind of frustration a little bit. But I've never been a fan of when people were, whether it's wrestling or anything else, when you lose a job and it's constantly blaming someone else for your non-success. I'd much rather be able to blame myself and go, I took every step possible. I threw every idea I could. I worked as hard as I could. I had the best matches I could, and I still like got let go. Like, okay, well, I know that I did everything. So there was nothing else that I could have given, nothing else I could have done. I'm happy with my effort that I gave, rather than just going down the already paved road.
Right.
It's not for me.
Well, you say that there are no stats in wrestling. Well, things that you can control, so to speak. What about the crowd? Does the crowd count as any sort of a statistic, like the reactions you get during matches, whether, you know, cheers or boos, or getting the desired reaction, or even if it's not the desired reaction, does the crowd count as a stat in any way? Like, does that ever get brought up? Like, we're like, well, getting a great pop, so does that ever count?
It counts if that translates into like merch. Mm. If the crowd's losing their mind, but they're not monetarily investing into you, like that's how people vote. People vote in two ways, mm-hmm. in all realms of life. They vote with their time and with their money. Yeah. If you buy a ticket to the show, you're buying a ticket to the show, not mm-hmm. to see the person. There's no way to differentiate that. So if you happen to be there, and people happen to be cheering for you, that's fantastic and it feels good and it'll make for you being able to get better energy in your matches and stuff. But I think sometimes it's hard for people to see that as a stat if your numbers don't line up. If people are not necessarily voting for you with their dollar, they might cheer for you, but they're voting with their dollar for someone else. So in my head, like if I'm a businessman, that's my ultimate goal, right? To make mm-hmm. as much money as I can. And so I'm going to go with the people who are being monetarily invested into, because now I can invest my time, and that's my minutes on TV, which are extremely expensive, knowing that I'll get something back from that. And so gotcha. it's a weird game. There's a mentality of looking at it as like a businessman, and the mentality of looking at it as like a talent who is just trying to like bust their ass and has for like the past decade to try to get something. It's two, not necessarily clashing ideas, I think, but it's just two different lines of thinking. So I think that it's hard to take those into account sometimes. And especially in the mindset that I was in, it was mm-hmm. like, it was just like, I'm working. I just want a shot. Let me try something. So, and it's harder to get off the ground like that, because, as you can see, on Thursdays, GM mode, Battle of the Brands on Up, Up, Down, Down. Tyler Breeze and I both GM Raw and SmackDown respectively. And so it's hard to try to build a bunch of people at once, because then your show's going to suffer overall. So so there's a lot to take into account that I think the businessman side doesn't see, and a lot to take into account that the talent side doesn't see. And so wires get crossed sometimes and miscommunications happen, but everybody ultimately is trying to gear towards the same goal, and that's to make the show as great of an experience for people watching as possible.
Okay. I remember when one day I was hanging out with you in, we're in California in the Bay at that really cool barcade. And no, it wasn't a bar. Well, I guess it's kind of a bar, like this big gamer restaurant thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember AFK. Yeah, AFK. I think that place is gone though. Rest in peace. So I was talking to another friend, like a musician, and I was just talking about like, man, being an indie musician is so crazy. Because like when you walk into a venue, some shady promoters will be like, all right, welcome to the show. Now, who'd you come to see? Did you come to see Megaran or the other guy or the other guy? And the guy was like, wow, people actually do that. And then right over my shoulder was AJ Styles, who was like, you sure you're not talking about a wrestling promoter? Like instantly was like, I was like, wait a minute, that kind of thing happens? He's like, yeah, like that totally happened on the indies. Like, had you seen stuff like that?
Yeah. 100%. Wow,
that's crazy to me. Like, I mean, so many similarities.
It's weird, and but at the same time, like, I get it. They want to know who to invest their money into, especially for like if indie promotion of anything. Like the person promoting has an objective to make money, and they probably aren't like breaking the bank right now. So it's the weird promoter game where, again, as the talent, we're like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, let's just do this show. But then as the promoter, it's like, well, I'm not booking you, so I lose money. So I need to know what's going on here, you know? So it's another weird seesaw of things to have to deal with.
It is. Okay, so you are currently at home nursing an injury. Tell the people about what happened, what was supposed to happen, and how recovery's gone.
Well, I tore my Achilles. I was not supposed to tear my Achilles. And that's pretty much
that. Okay. How did it go? Walk us through the thing that happened that caused this.
So we were in Australia. We just touched down in Sydney, Australia. So excited. I love Australia. Sydney especially is a great place. My God. I just want to go back.
Traveling.
I know.
God, I'll miss it.
Talking about going to Australia, I just want to go like to another state.
Right.
Yeah. Seriously. I'm trying to go to the street.
I just want to go to my down the street.
Yeah. So we flew to Sydney, we landed, chilled for a bit, and then we had a show that night. And I did something that I've done a million times, just like a belly to back suplex, but a reversal of it. So I do a backflip over the guy and land on my feet. And when I did it, I landed and I just like felt like somebody kicked me in the back of the foot. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I fell down, and then I went to get back up and I couldn't push off my toe. And in my brain, I was like, the only thing that this could possibly be is a torn Achilles. But at the same time, there's no way that I just in real life, like IRL, tore my Achilles. That couldn't happen to me. And then I got in the back and they did like this calf squeeze test. And they're like, yeah, it's probably a torn Achilles. And it's like, that's a long time. That's a long time to hang out at the house. So it was I hid for a while. I showered. We cut my boot off of my foot because I couldn't pull it off. It was like, it was so painful trying to pull it. Luckily, there wasn't pain from the tear because my adrenaline was still going. Once that wore off, it did not feel good. But wrapped it up, sat and watched the rest of the show, then went and sat on the bus on the way back to the hotel and just cried in the front row with my hood over my head. And everybody knows. So like, it's like, you know how when like varsity football players go out to play, they like touch the mascot as they're going out.
Yeah.
It was like everybody was hitting a hand on my shoulder as they passed me.
Oh man, that's got to suck. You're like,
yeah. So see you next year, guys.
So
I flew home. I was home for a day. Then I went and had surgery the next day. And then that next weekend, I went to a con in New Orleans.
That's right. You did.
Because it was like, as upset as I was about, like, I couldn't wrestle, and I still can't right now, the thing that was awesome was all of the gaming stuff and cons and all that stuff that I had like been pitched that I was like, I can't, I'm going to be in Australia or I'm going to be in Alaska or I'm going to be in Mexico. Like, cause I'm wrestling. That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
I just called all those people back or emailed them and my schedule filled up for like the next 4 months, like damn near instantly. And so that made me feel good because it means I'm making the right steps towards being full time in the gaming scene after I'm mm-hmm. done wrestling. Next, that's always a fear, like what's next. And so that's kind of why I've always been always building my gaming stuff. But and then it just kind of turned into, okay, so I can't, like, I couldn't walk, I couldn't run. I was just wheeling myself around on my cart. But the fact that I could still host and travel and be in tournaments and that people like wanted me to come and do that, it very much took a lot of the pain away of feeling like I'm of no use right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have no other skills. And that's a scary thing to think at times. And
so surely you have other skills. I mean,
but skills where you can, you know, support yourself.
That skills that people think are worth something, I guess. I can make a mean lasagna, but I don't know.
Oh,
like, I'm not going to open up a restaurant just on one dish. You know what I mean?
Just call it Silent G.
Move in silence.
Yes. Yes.
A few rap fans will get that. But okay, Silent G. I like it.
Yeah.
Just all lasagna all day.
Yep.
I'd go to that restaurant, to be honest. I would.
Just to see.
I'm a lasagna guy, but maybe not every day. So you're now in an interesting place because you're at home, but mm-hmm. so is the whole freaking world right now.
Yeah.
So does that make you feel any better about the situation? Like, well, at least like I'm not totally missing out on stuff. Is that like, how'd that do for your mental, like just with like everybody being home?
Honestly, it's, I will say that I probably got busier when quarantine kicked in because it went from all of the video game stuff. Yeah, cool. I can travel and go do this and that. And this idea of like the FOMO, like I wasn't worried about missing out on stuff because with my first kid, I was wrestling. I was gone a good bit of the time. So I missed a lot. I missed like first steps and first words and just like all the little cute things and nuances that like nobody but the parents care about. Mm-hmm. And so getting injured, like I got to be home for my second son being born. And I've gotten to be home like the whole time. And it's been incredible. Like I get to see them every single day. So I honestly don't feel like I'm missing anything. I feel like I was missing a lot of stuff, but like wrestling is going to come and wrestling is going to go. I love it with all my heart. It's my first love. It's what I've always wanted to do since I was a little kid, but like I have children and they need me. And so it's not like I'm chomping at the bit to get back into the ring, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not going to rush anything. For one, mainly because I don't want to get re-injured because that would be, that's literally worst case scenario. Well, besides being hit by a bus and dying or something. I just watched that on TV show.
Oh wow.
it's called In the Dark. It's real intense. It's very good. Anyway. Once quarantine hit and everybody had to stay at home, again, it was like there's an insurgence of like becoming much busier because then it became, okay, so the people that we see on TV or within whatever realm of entertainment we use, now those people literally have to do things remote. They have to be on Skype. They have to be on Discord. They have to be on Zoom. And so being someone who has like what little level of celebrity I have all of this stuff already. And I'm already in this world. So when somebody's like, oh, well, can we do this like Zoom call? And then I say, sure. And then they call someone like, oh, well, our tech person's going to call you to see what kind of microphone you have and like what bit rate you're using and what your audio is like. I'm like, bro, I stream like damn near every day for like hours on end.
I do this.
Yeah. And so it became very easy for people. Once people started like, they realized like, okay, who can we talk to? They're like Woods or Creed, however you want to refer to mm-hmm. me. They're like, he can, yeah. You want to talk about wrestling? Cool. You want to talk about games? Cool. You want to talk about like current events? Cool. I have the perfect setup for all of this stuff. And so, nice. So not that I hate everything that's happening like with 2020, I'm calling it the molting year. We're getting rid of the dead skin. 2021 is going to be great. But I would be lying if I didn't say that I was very much enjoying the time at home with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Again,
Yeah. It's just the, you know, same thing. I'm at this point now where I think my wife said, like, I think this is the longest time we've been together, like consecutively. And I was like, yeah, like yeah. in life, in like yeah. the 10 years I've known her. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty crazy that this mm-hmm. is happening now. So it's been, yeah, like I've been able to pick up a bunch of new skills, strategies, things, and just trying a bunch of stuff. And now I feel like I was telling you, like I feel like I work 10 times harder now.
Yeah.
You know, which is weird because, you know, all the other time I would have been spending half of it on a plane, half of it, mm-hmm. you know, driving somewhere to the airport or wherever, getting ready for a show. Now it's just working. I'm in front of the computer working. So I had to get a new computer chair. I had to start like really getting comfortable at home mm-hmm. to be like, oh, wow. Okay. I don't know yeah. how I did this before, but
uh-huh.
Yeah, this is something. But I'm feeling good about it. So is there a loose timeline for you on returning tentatively?
I shall return once I am fully healed.
Aha.
And that's it.
All right. All right, that's it.
Achilles injuries are nothing to play with. So it's not like a broken finger where it's like, yeah, I can get it wrapped up and I'm good to have matches. I am taking this like the most serious because mm-hmm. I feel good right now. I'm not trying to push it or test mm-hmm. it beyond its limits. I'm going to make sure that everything is up to working speed before you even almost see me anywhere. Cause I can't do it again. I won't do it again.
No. Well, good thing it wasn't like your hand or a couple of fingers broken, and then you wouldn't be able to game. So, like, how would that be?
I would have learned how to use one of the controllers that they have.
Have the special controllers. So,
Yeah.
You figure out a way. You find a way.
I'll find a way.
All right. So we got to talk about gaming, of course. So what are you like really into right now? Like every time I see you, you're streaming something different usually. But what's the thing that's like, yeah, this is my jam right now?
Mafia 3.
Mm.
Going back through it.
Ooh. Wait, so Mafia 3 was the one with like the black dude and he's yep. like in like the, oh God, it's yep. so satisfying. For yep, several reasons.
And just right now, I just need that.
good time to play some Mafia 3.
I was going to, so I'm trying to finish Last of Us 2 on stream. Mm-hmm. Started playing Dead by Daylight with my dudes. We'd been digging into Valorant pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot of stuff. But yeah, Mafia 3, I don't play on stream. It's a little extra. And there's many times throughout the game where like I catch myself in my feels about stuff and I'm getting like too intense.
Yeah. That so game's like, intense. It's like I said, it's very satisfying, but it is intense.
Yeah.
I can see that. I'm like that too. I was just going to wonder, like as a streamer, like I would say for the most part, like you're kind of like full time streaming these days. I'd say you're pretty consistent. So like, do you find yourself playing games that, like saving the games that you really want to savor for your own time and not stream time. So I see that. I'm doing that right now with Ghost of Tsushima. Mm. I'm really loving it. It's great, man. Whew.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I heard it's just like Red Dead with samurais.
Yeah, pretty much. And like, that's more interesting to me than cowboys. So yeah.
Yeah. Does it take you 10 years to ride to another town on your horse?
Well, there's a little bit of that. I need some fast travel. Like, there's a couple of places that let you fast travel, but like, they'll be like, this one is 5 kilometers away. And I'm like, come on. And then it's like, I got to just drive, ride. And that sucks. Like, that part gets annoying.
Yeah, I can't do that. You can't send me on a fetch quest where it takes me longer to travel than it does to do the mission.
Yeah, that part's a little annoying. I'm hoping they're going to start unlocking more like fast travel because like there's been a couple places they've let me fast travel to, but never like the next mission. So it's weird. No. But it's cool, man. I love it. Like, it's weird. They're very big on like the honor of the samurai. Mm-hmm. So like you can't like stab people in the back. However, they give you these really dope assassination animations and moves, but they're frowned upon by the samurai code.
Oh,
and I'm like, come on, forget the code. Like, I'm about to jump out of this tree, stab dude through the top of the head because it looks dope. And and then like you flash back to like your dad saying like, this is not the way. I'm like, man, get out of here,
Dad. You better get out of here.
Like, yo, they're gonna get me if I don't get them. Like, what are you talking about?
And I imagine you're not just fighting one person at a time.
No, no, it's exactly. Just waves of them. And it's like, dude, I need to sneak one of them to get them out the way. Like, come on.
Exactly.
So I bet there's going to be, I haven't beat it, but I'm sure there's going to be some deduction or a bad ending or something like that. I'm going to get to the very end and your ancestors are disappointed. You've been banished from the samurai community.
Nah, I don't know. I say, bring them on. I'll fight them too.
Right. Let's go. Like, oh, you go turn around and so I can just get you, give you one. Okay. I was told to ask you about Animal Crossing. Are you into Animal Crossing these days?
So I was very heavy. These days, not so much. It's weird. So like once I got the concert, I like completely screeching halt, stopped playing it. And I have no clue why, because I had all these plans of like how I was going to terraform my island and my house was going to be like up on the big hill with like a big staircase and there'll be wrestling rings everywhere. Mm-hmm. Man, I got the 3-star concert and I didn't play it for like a month after that. I don't know what happened. I lost all motivation. It's sad.
See, I feel like they kind of, I don't know, like they didn't have to show me like the credits when that happens. Cause then that does mentally mess with you. Like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
And you're not, but you know, they've had a lot of stuff. Me and my wife have been like crazy into it. I'm kind of falling out of it right now, but it used to be like every night, me and her, we take turns playing and it was really fun. I don't know. I like the underwater stuff now. I'm into that. Oh, yeah. So they added some cool stuff. I just built a diving board, a little, and a basketball court. Like, I've been trying to get into these new things, like, just to fill out the island. I'm trying to get it to 5-star. When I get my island to 5-star, I'm good. I'm at 4 right now, and that's it. Once I'm done that, I'll probably be finished with the game.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll start a new island or something. I don't know. But, okay, that's interesting. So what else are you playing these days? Like, in your own time?
I still have that streamer's guilt thing where if I'm playing a game, I feel like I should be playing it for my stream. Cause like, I feel like it's time wasted. Cause like, okay, so I'm in a house with my family. I gotta like take care of kids and stuff. And then once kids go down, I gotta like chill with wifey. And then I get like game time, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like at night. During the day, we got a pretty sweet setup, so I can stream during the day or like do whatever, like wrestling stuff, or take whatever care of whatever like business stuff we're doing. So if I'm just kind of sitting, chilling, playing games and not streaming, or at least like recording it, so if something crazy happens, I can make like a social clip out of it. I feel guilty, and I don't like that I've got the guilt on me, because then it makes me feel like, oh, is my life literally consisting of just trying to have moments in order to create content to make people click a like button so I get a serotonin boost an hour later? Like, then I start asking internal questions, and then I'm up till 4 a.m. asking myself what's the point of anything at all in life, and then I go to bed. So that's kind of how I'd rather than doing that, I just stream it.
Okay. All right.
So the reason I can justify the mafia stuff is because it's so intense. It's so intense.
It's
a lot. And there's like, so you can, so last time I played it, I 100%ed it. And so I'm going to do it again, but now there's all the DLC that I never touched. Mm. But like one of the collectibles is like Playboy magazines from like the 60s. Mm. And so there's just like straight up like nudity, like all in it. And it's like, oh, well, just in case, I'm not trying to, you know, have that on screen and get banned. Can't do that.
I wonder how Twitch feels about that. I mean, like, I know nudity is like frowned upon, but like, I wonder if that's like a violation. So yeah, might not want to take a chance.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
All right, gotcha. All right, so I got a question from a friend that says, has the injury and the time off affected either positively or negatively your future goals and things like that you might have in mind? Have there been things where like, you're like, oh yeah, well this means that now I'm ready to do this, or this means I can't do that, or maybe I don't want to do that anymore. So has anything like that ever happened?
No, which is a nice, well, besides that, so in the positive way, like I said before, so being able to lean more into the gaming stuff and see that there is that the relationship of reciprocity, like I'm putting stuff in, I'm getting stuff out type of thing, which I wasn't able to fully do while wrestling, because obviously that's my main gig, where I'm at like 80% of the time. So it was nice to be able to lean into that. So that isn't necessarily a change, but it's a nice realization. And as far as goals, no, like wrestling's not like gone, so I can still be King of the Ring, and that's that's like my literally my only focus.
Have you had any luck with this King of the Ring? Like, we gotta get you King of the Ring. I know if this is gonna become an annual thing.
King of the Ring again? Is just randomly. It's just whenever there's like a lull in something, it's like, oh yeah, King of the Ring. So I'm just hoping that I've been cutting enough promos on TV when I get back that if someone does say, hey, let's do King of the Ring, that someone goes, oh yeah, we're just talking about that. At least, at the bare minimum, we should put him in the tournament. That's all I want. That's all I want. And then I'm just gonna fight people for real and win.
Yeah, just start fighting for real.
You don't want this like I do.
Like, hey, look, I won. He's knocked out. I won. Oh gosh. All right. So what? Okay. So King of the Ring. I was gonna ask like long term goals, but King of the Ring, I think, is something that I would say achievable. And even in the short term, because it's very something that's still going on right now. When it didn't exist and you were saying it, then I was like, oh, man. But now it's back. So I think that's very possible.
So think about this. So you say that when I was talking about King of the Ring, it wasn't around.
It wasn't back.
The first time that you heard me like spouting off about it.
Yeah.
And it's been years.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you heard me spouting off that New Day was going to be like the greatest faction ever, it wasn't a thing. Then the first time you heard me spouting off about Kofi Kingston becoming heavyweight champion, it wasn't a thing. And then it became a thing. So the first time you heard me talking about me becoming King of the Ring, it wasn't a thing. The only thing stopping me right now is time. Once enough time has passed, I will have spoken it into the universe enough. I will have done enough things. I will have convinced enough people that I need to have this in my life that I will figure out a way. I will figure out a way to make it happen.
Okay.
This is what happened.
You got a pretty good streak going on these things.
I've been telling you, I'm like a pit bull.
You've been speaking them into existence. I remember a chat with you. Gosh, I don't know if it was. It must have been like right before the New Day. We were in Atlanta at the Barcade. Mm-hmm. And I think it's called Barcade. I don't remember.
But that anyway, one is, yeah.
Okay, so we're there. And I remember you telling me like the beginning of the seeds of the New Day. And what it was hopefully going to be and how it was going to come about. Now, I know you'll say that you've always believed in this and you always knew that this was going to be the thing. But was there a moment, even now, like even in the existence and in the rise of the New Day, where anything that happens surprises you, where you're like, yo, I definitely didn't see it going this long, this far, to this height?
I'm surprised like every single day. Like that we're still a thing, because like that's what we want, you know.
Yeah,
that's always been our thing and what we believe that it should be, but obviously like it's not our sandbox, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ultimately like we're cogs in the wheel, but it's nice to know that when there's something of this level of importance to us that we are able to be heard and it's understood that this is something that we very much care about, something that's bigger than us, something that's bigger than wrestling, something that's bigger than WWE. It's the idea that we in this current day and age have the opportunity to show the world a relationship between males that's not built on toxic masculinity, that's fine with being physically close to your brother, with hugging a grown man and crying on another grown man. Like, that's okay to do, especially like as a Black man. I feel like we're taught a lot of times by society, like you can't cry, you can't be soft, you gotta be tough, and you gotta be hard all day, you gotta be hard as soon as you wake up in the morning. It's like, bro, relax. Like, it's not like that. Everybody's human. Everybody has a full gamut of emotions. And to be able to be in a position where I can be in a group with two other very, very talented, skilled African-American males, and to be able to show young Black kids that this is also how Black men can be, because being a black man or a black woman or an Asian man, an Asian, like whatever ethnicity or whatever you come from, whatever nationality, like you don't have to be inside the little box that the rest of society tries to put you in. Just because you're black, you don't have to be obsessed with basketball and hip hop, you know?
Yeah.
That's the stereotypical thing, you know? And so by being able to show these kids that you don't have to fit into someone else's box, and to show other kids that aren't of that ethnicity, look, you don't have to try to put this person inside of a box in order to be friends with them and understand them. Just let them be them. That's more important than any title reign or anything ever, because that's a super important lesson that I wish that I had a lot more of when I was growing up.
Man, that's the truth. I'm working on this book, and one day I'll have it done. And one part of it is about a mentor was telling me, like, just by existing, you know, you become someone else's like wildest dream, you know, and they know that this is possible, you know, like you are the person that fits, that's outside of their box of what they've ever seen or experienced or what they thought black men could be or what they could be into or what they could like, or, you know, how they could respond and react, and knowing that it's okay to smile and be excited, you know? So I think about that a lot every day, that there's not even an accomplishment that I could have, a Grammy or 10 million records sold, that can beat just existing and being the true self that we are, you know what I mean? And I think that, that's something that can inspire so many more people to hopefully do the same. So that's really dope to hear. I want to get into a couple of gaming questions, and then I'm going to get into something a little serious. All right. So Mount Rushmore, we got four, right? There's four on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. All right. I got to remember. It's, is Norman Smiley.
No. Oh, stop. Okay. Stop.
Okay. All right.
I didn't even tell you what it was going to be. I'm sure you've heard this question 1,000 times.
Okay.
But Mount Rushmore tag teams.
Billy and Chuck, Impact Players, Eminem. This is hard. It's hard.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because there's like the Holy Trinity. That's a different question. So like... Adrian Christian, Hardy's, Dudley's, obviously, but like,
yeah,
that's a different league.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
I don't know my last one. What was it? Elix Skipper and Kid Romeo, the WCW Cruiserweight tag champs.
Okay. All right, that's an underrated pick. Okay, all right, I like it. Very different. All right, Mount Rushmore of video games. Top four games that. Now, thinking about this, that you can continue to play and enjoy no matter what.
So whenever I get asked my top five games, I always say no order. So I'm now having to pick what's the lowest game on that list. So Mario Kart Double Dash, Nights into Dreams, River City Ransom.
Nice.
Mischief Makers.
Ooh. Okay. Wow, those are some good ones. I like it. I just bought Knights on Steam.
Smart.
In the Dreamcast. Like, there's a Sega set that I just bought with that in it. So I'm like thinking the same thing. I'm like, all right, so I get this. I gotta stream it, right? I guess. Like, why waste the time? I've never played it.
Really? Okay, so I don't know how it works on Steam, but on Saturn, you have to, in order to get the full story, when you get to the start screen, you have to wait. And it's going to show you Claire's video, and then back to the start screen, wait. It's going to take a long time. You wait, and then it's going to show you Elliot's cutscene. So, like, it's leading up to, like, what they're – I won't explain it, but that's, like, the first part of the game. And then when you hit play, then it goes into stages, and you get more cutscenes, like, throughout it. But you won't – you'll understand what's going on, but you'll have a better understanding of it if you watch those scenes from the start screen.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Good to know. I would have just ran right through it. What is the game that you've spent the most hours on in your life, you think?
Dang. Double Dash.
Okay.
Double Dash, because that's from high school. So, like, I was dating a girl, and that was, like, legit one of the two things that we would constantly do every day. So Double Dash, definitely.
Okay. I thought you were going to say like an RPG or something. Are you an RPG guy at all?
Yeah. I almost said Monster Hunter.
Okay.
But then I would have to flip it because I went Monster Hunter. I said, no, I've definitely got more time in Final Fantasy 14. And then I went back and said, no, I've definitely got more hours logged in Double Dash.
Easy. Okay. All right. Anything new you're waiting for game-wise that's coming soon or that maybe is out but you haven't had a chance to play yet?
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I try to not keep my eye on like the horizon of games because then I'm constantly waiting for stuff rather than playing what's here now. So yeah. Like I had no clue Paper Mario was coming out. not an iota until I got on Twitter the night before and saw Paper Mario. I was like, oh, what? And they're like, yeah, Paper Mario's coming out. I'm like, hell yeah, when? They're like, in 3 hours, you idiot. And I'm like, oh, let me get it.
I haven't played it yet. I didn't play the old Paper Mario, but I'm looking forward to getting into it. Came out at the same time as Ghosts, and so I've been playing that. So once I get through it, but right now I've got about 7 hours in, and I just finished chapter one. So this might be a really long game.
It's going to be a while. Watch Dogs Legion.
Oh yeah, that looks good.
My God,
I'm a big Watch Dogs fan, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, and Mount Rushmore of fast food establishments.
Does Chipotle count as fast food?
Yeah.
Chipotle is by far number one.
Okay.
By far number. This was a Chipotle burrito earlier.
It was.
I eat since quarantine, I've eaten Chipotle. There's probably been what? 10 to 15 meals since quarantine have not been Chipotle.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot.
It's all Chipotle burritos all the time. It's a perfect meal. It's packaged perfectly. Once I'm done with it, I know that my meal is finished. It's great. So I go Chipotle. Does Noodles and Company count as fast food?
It's a chain, so I'll allow it.
Okay. I give me some real obscure things. So Chipotle, Noodles and Company. Let me throw a In-N-Out on there.
Okay.
And then Whataburger, but not in Texas.
Wait. Not in Texas? I mean,
not in Texas.
I mean, I'm in Arizona and they have them here, but like I'd imagine there's not very many places outside of Texas that have them, right?
No, not at all.
So why outside of Texas?
Because in Texas, the drive-through lines are like 14 hours. No matter what time of day it is, it's always packed. And so it turns into long food instead of fast food. So outside of Texas, though, never had that problem at Whataburger. And it's delicious.
That's true. That makes sense. It's not a big of a deal outside of Whataburger. Like, I ride past in Arizona and there's like nobody in the drive-thru. Like, it's not a big deal. But In-N-Out, though, popping. Like, no matter what, anywhere I go, popping.
Those flat smash burgers.
Essentially, you would say both. You know, it's like an either or, like civil war when it comes to like burgers between those two. Like everybody thinks it's one or the other. So that's.
Well, I don't get burgers at Whataburger. I get that like chicken tender toaster sandwich. It's like chicken cheese barbecue sauce on a toaster. I was like, this is incredible.
Huh. Okay. Huh. That's a good one. All right. I wouldn't have, I don't think I've had that. I had the, what I do there? I do the patty melt, I guess.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good with the big Texas toast. All right, so I'm going to let you go. But lastly, let's talk about the way the world has kind of changed over in 2020 thus far over the last few months. In your estimation, like when do you see things getting back to a so-called normal as far as either outdoors outings, as far as like moving forward and as far as issues of racial justice and inequality? Do you feel like we're moving in the right direction? And when do you see things kind of coming together and how?
I have zero idea anymore because I feel like there was a time in life as a kid I never understood when my parents listened to like NPR and all that stuff so much. And now like I'm that adult who like wakes up and I listen to like nine different like news radio things because I don't want to have just like one lens. I want to see what like people that I don't agree with, like how are they using propaganda to make me seem like a bad person to people that are listening to them for no reason at all when they've never met me. So I listen to a bunch and I don't know. Like I said, I feel like there was a time where you could say like, oh, well, like I'm going to predict this. And cause like, this seems like a normal curve of way of where things would be, of how people would begin to understand things, how discussions would come about. But like 2020 has been like the most random occurrences ever in response to situations that have always been issues. Now the responses to these issues are just like completely out of whack. And so it makes me think like there's no way to like predict whether we're gonna get like a corona vaccine sometime soon. Cause I'm not a medical professional. I don't know these things. And there's just so many different takes on stuff. And we don't know when people are gonna finally come to the side of, hey, just don't be racist. It's taken way too long for that to happen. But so I don't know how much longer it's gonna take for people to get there. So I don't know. It's a weird, very frustrating time. So I don't know. The hardest thing for me is trying to figure out like, so I've got a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old, and it's like, okay, at what point do I try to figure out how to start teaching like the 3-year-old, like, hey man, I know this doesn't make sense to you right now, but like, you got to watch your back kind of at all times, regardless of where you are. And he'll be like, why? And I'm like, I don't know, just do it. And then I remember like, I talked to my parents about this and I'm like, how did you do this with me? And they're like, we did it just like you're doing it now. Like we just had to kind of police you ourselves. And you know, my mom was like, oh, there's one time you went to go to this party with a bunch of people, but I didn't know anybody who was going. I didn't know the area. So like, I told you no, and you were upset at me. And it's like, how was I supposed to explain to you like at like 11 or 12 years old? Like, I don't want you to go here because I heard that, you know, I know from stories that people have told me that we know, like this is not the best part of town for you to be in because there's a higher percentage of something really bad happening to you there. And so it's more fighting with that because there's a lot of people who, when you say, hey, stop being racist, and they're racist, and their answer is, yeah, but. And so like, we can't really move forward when that's the mentality. So I don't know. I wish that people would just go with the golden rule, like treat people how you want to be treated. Because once you get people to a certain point, like then it becomes much harder to have conversations because people have crossed a bunch of lines that no one wants them to cross, and it turns into what's going on now. And it's a very, very difficult time, and I have no clue what it's going to look like in 3 months or 6 months or a year. Because you have to remember too, when people in the future go and see the 2020 documentary in theaters, they're going to walk out and say, it was a really good movie, but not really realistic at all. And that's what they're going to think about 2020. And so like, it's like, what if this was a video game, when we got to the end and the credits roll, they're going to be like, oh, well, don't forget about the Murder Hornets DLC that we talked about 6 months ago.
Or I was about to say, they're going to walk out and be like, yo, nothing's changed. It's all like, I could have just witnessed this from outside of my window. Like, why did I go to the movies for this?
Yeah. Let's say we get a vaccine for Corona. Mm-hmm. Let's say people stop being racist and we're like, all right, this is dope. And let's even say that like the Murder Hornets aren't a thing. We're going to go, everything is great now. Everything is perfect. We can move on with our lives and we can live in harmony. And then all of a sudden, aliens. And it's like, dope. Let's go. And we finally come together because now here's our real test.
This could all be the test to lead us up to the real test.
Yeah, it could be.
You know, you like, I like the fact that you said 2021 is going to be awesome. And I mean, I hope you think so. But But like, yeah, this could be like the big test, you know, coming next that we have to prepare ourselves for and strengthen ourselves. And then we're ready to take on the aliens. those guys.
They're just sitting up there. They're sitting up there waiting and laughing at us.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're going to pick them apart. This is, look at them. Like, they can't even like, get along.
They're sitting down there watching on the TVs. It's, I imagine it's the two aliens from The Simpsons. And they're like, what? What? Hey, come look at this. There's a whole group of people down there that don't like the other ones because of where their skin looks. This is ridiculous. Wait until they get eyes on us.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
they're laughing at us.
Yeah, I believe it. I think, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about the future. Yeah. I will say we've been seeing a lot more awareness in all facets of life, you know, and it's been dope to see. Like, you know, you turn on a video game, you see a Black Lives Matter message and things like that. And I'm like, oh, this actually makes my heart feel pretty good. But like, at the same time, I know that when I play Call of Duty, I gotta mute the chat because I never know what somebody's gonna say. You know what I mean? So like, it's not necessarily changing what's happening in people's households and things like that. No. But I do appreciate, and I love the strength for people to draw a line in the sand and say, look, man, I don't mess with that stuff. So if you like what we do, just know that we're not into that. And, you know, that's really all I can ask for. And if more people speak up and stand up for what's right, then, you know, then I think we're on the right path.
Yeah. It's pretty simple. Like, Don't be mean to or think less of me for no reason. If I punched your husband in the face, yeah, dislike me because I'm a dick. Do that. I would expect
that's fair.
For you to do that. But yeah. If it's just like,
but if I didn't do anything, then come on.
Yeah. Oh, he's black. I should like coddle my purse. It's like, well, that's a bit much, you know. Let's try to not do things like that. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
So. Yeah, that's it. I just want people to not be racist. Just be
friends. That's all. I don't think that's too much to ask, man.
No, it's what's it, Jackie Moon? Everybody love everybody.
Yeah, that's it. All right, I think that's a good place to end. Yeah. Okay, let the folks know where to find you on the internet, how to get all the goodness from the Twitch and the YouTube and everything else. Mm-hmm.
Again, I am WWE superstar Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, a.k.a. host of the greatest YouTube channel of all time. Up, up, down, down. Go subscribe if you have yet to subscribe already. Hold on. Wait, Jackie. I'm almost done. You can also catch me on twitch.tv/AustinCreed, where I'm playing hella games and digging into it. Yeah, I said it. I'm digging into it. You can also catch me on the New Day podcast. It drops every single Monday. Go and listen to your boys. Just search wherever you listen to your podcast, The New Day, and click the pink picture with the three black guys' faces on it. Even if you can't stand me, even if you don't like my face and hate the sound of my voice, you hit and subscribe. It's an automatic download Monday morning. You can delete it Monday night if you want to. Don't even listen to it, but it helps me out regardless. So thanks.
All right. Well done, sir. Thank you for the time. And I'll see you down the road, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, man.
All right. Take care, bro.
All right. Bye.